Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 8, Lord Krishna shows the universal form. Text 20. Shri Shukra Vacha Iti Atmana Samadishya
Yeah.
Shukravacha. Sri Shukadev Goswami said. Iti thus Atmana. About the absolute truth. The Supreme Soul. Samadishya. After fully instructing. Garga. When Garga Muni. Cha. Also. Swagriha. To his own abode. Gate. Had departed. Nanda, Maharaj Nanda, Pramudita, became extremely pleased. Mene, considered Atmana, his own self, Purnamashisha, full of all good fortune. Translation. Srila Shukadev Goswami continued, after Garga Muni, having instructed Nanda Maharaj about Krishna, departed for his own home, Nanda Maharaj was very pleased and considered himself full of all good fortune. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Krishna is the Super Soul, and Nanda Maharaj is the individual soul. By the instructions of Garga Muni, both of them were pleased. Nanda Maharaj was thinking of Krishna's safety from the hands of demons like Putana and Shakat Asura. And because he possessed such a son, he thought of himself as most fortunate. Sri Shuka Uvacha, ityatmanam samadishya, gargecha swagriham gate, nanda pramudito mene, atmanam purnam ashisham. Srila Shukadeva Goswami continued, after Garga Muni, having instructed Nanda Maharaj about Krishna, departed for his own home, Nanda Maharaj was very pleased and considered himself full of all good fortune. Nama Om Shrivadaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namini Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharini Nerevisheshishunyavadi Mastujyadeshitarini Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Vachakapatra Rivyas Jagripa Sindhu Vyavacha Patitana Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namo. So, yes, Garga Muni was feeling so happy that this is actually Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I am having his darshan. And I'm having his association. This is just something I never expected or something I never thought would happen to me, but see how fortunate I am. So he was very happy. He was very happy and he was glorifying Krishna and just, not in an academic way, but really from his heart. How wonderful this is. This is just the best. Nanda Maharaj was also feeling the same way. Even more so, that this is my son. How amazing. I have a son like this. Wow. This is what they call sometimes a wow moment. You realize something just happened to you. It's really good. It's just like, wow. This is the ultimate wow moment. If you followed the whole description given by Gauga Muni, he actually says in one of the verses says at least, that he understood everything. These are known. This son of yours has many forms and names, according to his transcendental qualities and activities. These are known to me, but people in general do not understand them. So, he is not saying everything. He's saying quite a bit, but he's not saying everything. He's not saying everything about Krishna, that Krishna is the original Supreme Personality of Godhead, and is therefore the ultimate, absolutely worshipable person for everybody. What to speak of Nanda Maharaj and his associates and friends, but even the demigods like Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva. He's not saying absolutely everything, but he's saying a lot. And indirectly he's saying enough to establish that Krishna is the Supreme Lord. He appears in the different yugas, in different colors, in the Satya Yuga in a white form, in the Treta Yuga in a red form, in the Dwapara Yuga in a blackish form, and in the Kali Yuga in a yellowish form. So some people would think, wait a minute, some well-informed devotees, wait a minute, white form, red form, black form, yellow form, haven't I heard about this? This must mean the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Oh. Devotees are very perceptive. Sometimes you don't have to spell everything out in great detail to them. You can just hint, say something, and they understand, ah, situation is like that. But Gauga Muni, he's saying so much, but he's also being a little guarded, not saying absolutely everything, because he understands the exalted transcendental position of Nanda Maharaj and the other inhabitants of Vrindavan. They are on, he's aware, they're on a much higher Krishna conscious level than me. They're on such a high transcendental level. They're under yoga maya. And they're thinking that he is just their son, their friend, their boyfriend, like this. Out of love, they're thinking like that. Not just because they're in some just confusion and they're underestimating him, but out of love, out of their exalted Krishna consciousness, they're thinking like this. And I don't want to come on like some big jnani and just kind of force the issue that, no, he's not your son, he's not your friend. He is God. Bow down before him. Bow down, mister. Or else. If you don't bow down, you're off. You're off track. You're in Maya. They're not in Maya. Well, they are in Maya, but they're in Yoga Maya. They're not in Mahamaya. And devotees like Garga Muni, who are not on such a level, they're devotees, they're very advanced, but they're not on that level, like the Brijavasis. Then, at least those of them who really understand things nicely, then they will not push this point out of respect for the Brijavasis' exalted position of love for Krishna. They won't push this point that Krishna's God, you must accept him as such. Don't think he's just your son. They appreciate these things and they respect the Brijavasis, so they don't push it like that. So therefore sometimes they may say something, but in a reserved way, which will not really interfere with the Brijavasis' love for Krishna and their Krishna consciousness in those terms. So we can see Nanda Maharaj, he is in an interesting frame of mind that he is very pleased that, oh, I have a son who is Narayan Sama. He is the same as Narayan. He's equal to Narayan. Wow, that's really good. That's wonderful. I have a son who appears in the different yugas, in the different colors, the same as the Supreme Lord Vishnu. Wow, that's really good. I have a son who previously defeated the enemies of Lord Indra. Now, who is this? But he's not. Because of his love, he's just thinking, wow, this is great. And indeed, as the chapter goes on, you'll be reading how Mother Yashoda, one day Lord Krishna is accused by Lord Balaram of eating dirt. He and Krishna, with their friends, were playing childish games. Some competition was there. Krishna was beating Balaram. And you know what it's like with young children, young brothers sometimes. One beats the other, and the beaten one, oh, he doesn't like it. He doesn't like it at all. So Balaram was being beaten by Krishna and he didn't like it. But he couldn't beat Krishna. Because he was getting beaten, he couldn't just say, well, I'll carry on and I'll beat him. It got to the point he understood, I'm beaten, but I don't like it. But I got to do something. So he went to Mother Yashoda and told a tale. Told her a story. Do you want to know something, Mata? Krishna ate some dirt. And Mother Yashoda, as the ever concerned mother, immediately thought, what? Krishna, my son ate some dirt. Oh no! Mother Yashoda is so concerned about Krishna. You know, you get some of these mothers, they sort of, you know, they're very much into doing their own thing, whatever they're into. Their children, well, yes, they may keep an eye on them sometimes. We were just in Adi Badrinath in Vrindavan, with a whole lot of devotees. And one mother, she was so into Adi Badrinath, it's so beautiful, and big hills, almost like mountains and forest. And She forgot about her 7-year-old child until we went back to the buses and she realized, wait a minute, I lost my child. Wow. Unfortunately, the child appeared quite soon. But Mother Yashoda is not like that. She is so concerned about Krishna. And is he all right? Where is he? What's he doing? And things like this. That Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, she will give her life 10,000 times if there is Sri Sri Krishna Balaram Ki Jai. She will give her life 10,000 times if there is one speck of dust on Krishna's forehead. That's how concerned she is. So anyway, she heard Krishna was eating dirt, which was not really true. It was just Balaram being the beaten brother, trying to get his own back. So she went and told Krishna, Krishna, you open your mouth. Let me see. Krishna opened his mouth. Inside she saw not exactly some dirt. She saw the whole universe and all the different planets and herself and Krishna. She just became astonished, and her mood of love, motherly love, started to be replaced by a mood of respect and awe and reverence that so many people have been saying Krishna's God. I thought they are all just stupid, but maybe they're right. Maybe there's something in this rumor that Krishna is God. So looking in his mouth, but then she looked in his eyes, and his beautiful little child's eyes, so sweet and soft and just full of emotion and love for her. And she just looked in his eyes, and that realization or idea that Krishna's God, it was just swept away as her mood of love, motherly love, came up again, up and up. And something similar to what Nanda Maharaj was thinking. Mother Yashoda, as that mood of love was just in the process of sweeping away that idea that maybe Krishna's God, but it had not swept the idea away completely. She's kind of in both consciousnesses, some mixed consciousness of motherly love, plus some remaining understanding or idea that maybe he's God. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that in this mixed frame of mind, she thought that, well, if he really is God, I'm a really fortunate woman. How many women have God for their child? And then she just forgot he was God and just was completely in the mood that he's her son, her beloved son, incredibly beloved son. But Balaram, elsewhere, our acharyas mention, Balaram then went to Mother Yashoda, hoping and expecting that his plan to get Krishna into trouble and to get Krishna chastised by Mother Yashoda, and in that way Balaram would feel good, ha ha ha. See what happened to you. I got you. So he went and asked Mother Yashoda, so, What did you do about it then, Mata? You sought him out, straightened him out, eating dirt. And Mother Yashoda said, dirt? What dirt? Oh, yeah. Well, no. I decided not to get into it. And Balaram protested. Balaram made a court case. And he was the prosecutor. Mother Yashoda was the judge. Krishna had to defend himself, argue in the court case. And eventually, Lord Balaram called, even though Mother Yashoda was the judge, he called her as a witness. And Balaram said, so, you looked in his mouth? Yes. What did you see? Did you see some dirt? No. I saw the universe. I saw the earth planet. And Krishna said, so, earth planet, it's made of dirt. Right. Well, I suppose so. He's guilty. And Krishna was found guilty of eating dirt. Because you see, Balaram, he is the crest jewel of the intelligent. He's just such an intelligent person. Don't try to fool Balaram, it won't work. But anyway, here, Nanda Maharaj, he's also in such a state of mind. Now he's been told effectively, your son is God. But because of his love, he cannot really accept that and just take it in and just, yes, he's no longer my son, he is God. So he didn't get into that state of mind, but he did get into a state of mind of feeling, wow, he's so extraordinary. And he's my son? How fortunate am I? This is amazing. So it didn't really interfere with his love. It didn't really interfere. Certainly it didn't really like disturb his love for Krishna, which is a higher manifestation of Krishna consciousness than just, so to speak, just understanding that Krishna's God and he's the Supreme Lord and he's controlling everything and I am his and I have to serve him and this is just, I have no choice because he's God. On the material level, people think, someone thinks, who am I? I am mine. I belong to me. I should do what is good for me. My interest should be first. When a person becomes a devotee, then they should not think like that. They should think, I am Krishna's. I belong to Krishna. So I should do everything for Krishna. That is who I am. That is what my life should be. That is sadhana bhakti, actually. But when a devotee comes to the level of Nanda Maharaj, or of course to come to that level, that's something else, but to come to the level of being qualified to enter Vrindavan and become an inhabitant of Vrindavan, then Nectar of Instruction, Bhaktivinoda Sindhu, describes there is a particular aspect of their consciousness, one of the most important ingredients for a person, if they're actually to be qualified to enter Vrindavan. That is, they no longer think that Krishna, that they are Krishna's, but they think Krishna is theirs. In Sanskrit, it is called mamata. Mamata. Krishna belongs to me. not in a material sense, but a completely transcendental sense of pure love for the Lord. Krishna belongs to me. So for Mother Yashoda, for example, Nanda Maharaj, they think, yes, Krishna, who's Krishna? He is my son. He's my son. And I'm his father. And as the father, what do I have to do? I have to train him. I have to train him to grow up as a good boy. It's my duty, my responsibility. I have to do it. And I will do whatever it takes to do it. And if I catch Krishna doing some nonsense, I will correct him. I will tie him up, threaten him. Don't, for us, people like us, we shouldn't do that. People on the material level, they try to do that. They pray to God, give me some money, God, or else. If you don't give me some money, I'm going to convert and become a Christian. Take that. Material consciousness. So there's some resemblance, but at the same time, it's totally different. That Mother Yashoda is thinking, I have to chastise my son, even I have to threaten him and tie him up till he gets the message. If I don't do that, I will fail in my duty as a mother. He will grow up to become bad, a bad adult. Today he is stealing butter. In the future he may steal motor cars. And everyone will say, who was his mother? What sort of negligent mother did he have? Yes. He may form the Makan Mafia and take over the butter market and become some big criminal. So we can't have that. Therefore, we have to train them up as we see fit. There's one other incident. Sunanda, one of Nanda Maharaj's brothers, called a meeting of the Brijvasis. And he said, listen, I have a very important subject to discuss, extremely important matter to present to all of you. It is about Krishna, of course. It is about Krishna. He said, you know, I have understood something. I have understood that Krishna is God. This is very important. You don't understand. This is what I want you to understand. This is why I've called this meeting. He is God. Therefore, Mother Yashoda, you cannot pull his ear any longer. You cannot tie him up with ropes. You can't do it because he is God. And you can't accuse him of being a thief because he's the absolute truth. So how can he be a thief? He is truth personified. So you have to stop treating him like this. Stop treating him like he's one of the little village boys. We should put him on the altar and offer arti to him, and that's what we should do. So Nanda Maharaj said, wait a minute. Bhaiji, just hang on. Listen, you say, and Sunanda had said many things, you know. He's worshipable by the demigods. He is the absolute truth. He is the supreme pure. So Nanda Maharaj said, listen, you say he is the absolute truth, but let me tell you, I'm his father. I can tell you, he is a big liar. He lies all the time. You ask him, did you steal the butter? No. Not me. Who, me? Steal butter? No. Did you steal the gopi's clothes? Me? I would never do that. And then we find out that actually he did do that. So he's just a liar. How can you say he's the absolute truth? He's not the absolute truth. And you say he's the supreme pure, but he's always playing in the dirt and rolling in the dirt. And sometimes he catches the tails of the calves and they drag him through the dirt. So we have to give him a bath 10 times a day. How can you say he's completely pure? He's dirty. All day he's dirty. It's terrible. And you say, he is the supreme, powerful Lord. But when there's a thunderstorm, he comes running to me in the middle of the night, Peter, let me come in your bed. He's frightened just at the thunderstorm. How can you say he's the supreme pure? So like this, Nanda Maharaj defeated Sunanda and told everyone, look, I don't care what you think about him, he's my son. And if I feel he needs to be chastised, I'm going to chastise him. And even Sunanda, he agreed, actually, yeah, you're right. Somehow I got carried away. I thought he was God. I don't know what happened to me. Must have had some hallucination. Sorry about that. Yeah. So this is very interesting. The consciousness of the Brijbasis is very interesting. Sometimes, as we see here in Nanda Maharaj, and as we'll see after some days, when Mother Yashoda sees the universal form, and it happens to others also. Like it happened to everyone, Krishna lifted Govardhan Hill. Now what are you meant to think when a 7-year-old child lifts a big mountain, and not even with both hands? He only used one hand, and it was his left hand. And he lifted it and held it on the little finger of his left hand for a week. What are you meant to think? So the inhabitants of Vrindavan were wondering, wait a minute, Krishna, he's only 7. How's he holding this big hill? How's it possible? So, you know, you've never seen anyone hold a hill, right? If you saw someone holding a hill, you would really have to think, who is this person? And maybe, in fact, Prabhupada said, if you meet people who are fans of Sai Baba and other so-called incarnations, first thing you should do is ask them, can you lift Govardhan Hill? And if they say, well, you need special eyes to see it, then you say, well, give me those eyes. And if they say, well, look, I'm busy right now, come back later or something like that, then you should know they're bogus. But if you saw them lifting Govardhan Hill, you'd have to think about it, wouldn't you? So the inhabitants of Vrindavan, their love for Krishna is so powerful. Even though they saw him doing this totally impossible incredibly impossible thing. They did not think, he's God, just see, this is it, the final proof. No, all they thought was, wait a minute, how is he doing that? That's amazing. How is he doing that? And Krishna said, you know how I'm doing it? It is because Madhu Mangal, who's a qualified Brahmin, gave me some blessings. And Madhu Mangal said, yeah, it's true. I gave him Shakti-giving blessings. And the inhabitants of Vrindavan said, oh, okay, that's how he's doing it. Because Madhu Mangal is such a powerful Brahmin. So in different ways, even though that Aishvarya Bhava, that mood of seeing Krishna as God, it was creeping in. It was starting to creep in. But due to different arrangements, in terms of the pastimes, something happened which then encouraged their love again. So that Aishvarya mood, that understanding that Krishna was God, again it just went away. And the men thought, well, look, you know, Madhu Mangal, he gives good blessings. He's not a bad Brahmin, but still, he's just young. So we don't know how long his blessings will give Shakti to Krishna. So we should help by holding the hill with our sticks. So they did that. And they told Krishna, okay, Krishna, you can relax. We've got the hill now. And Krishna said, oh, you got the hill. Okay, take some of the weight. He let some of the weight come over their side. And the hill was coming down and onto their heads. And then they called out, Krishna, help! Means they had some idea that he can do this, he can save us. And Krishna lifted the hill up again, and they said, yeah, okay, thanks for doing that. And they didn't really think, hey, he must be God, and get into that whole mood. Not really. So it works like this. Usually they just think he's their son or friend or one of the village boys. But sometimes some idea comes in that he's God. But then something happens to make them again forget that he's God. And in this way, their mood of love for Krishna does not become like seriously undermined or even destroyed by their realization that he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In Brihad Bhagavatamrita, Sanatana Goswami describes how when Krishna was being held by Kaliya, then all the adults, everyone from the village came to see. And they're all just totally overwhelmed that Krishna, he may die. We may lose our Krishna. Balaram was the only one who understood. He understood. Krishna's God. It's no problem. He's just playing a game. There's nothing to worry about. So he understood it clearly. Even Sanatana Goswami says that Balaram was thinking towards Krishna or about Krishna. He was thinking, come on, Krishna. You want to play with a snake? If you really want to play with a snake, why don't you play with me in my form as Anantisha? Why are you playing with this mundane Kaliya? What's wrong with you, Krishna? As an older brother, sometimes Balaram thinks like this. And he could see the inhabitants of Vrindavan, they're coming to the point of death. even though they have spiritual bodies which can't die, but they're about to die, actually. So what Balaram did, he didn't want to tell them that, listen, folks, relax, it's okay. Krishna's God. No problem. It's all right. Out of respect for their love, because some of them love Krishna even more than he does, but out of respect for their love, he felt, no, I can't say that. I must not say that. Because their love is too worshipable. I can't interfere with it. But what he did, he started stopping them from entering the Yamuna and trying to pacify them by smiling. So he's telling them, no, don't go into the Yamuna. Some of them he was physically stopping. Some of them he was speaking to, and the whole time he was smiling, as if to encourage them to feel that it may not be such a big problem. But what did they think? They thought, why are you smiling at a time like this, Balaram? You can't smile at a time like this. What's wrong, Balaram? So, the exalted consciousness of the inhabitants of Vrindavan. It's very amazing. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he makes the point that if sometimes Sri Sri Krishna Dadaram Kija, if sometimes the inhabitants of Vrindavan do not get some idea that Krishna may be God, possibly, or, you know, maybe he really is God, some idea heading in that direction. If they don't get some idea like that sometimes, then in certain situations, their love for him may become so powerful, it may become too powerful and uncontrollable, and something may happen to them. Something may serious may happen to them. So he says, therefore, from time to time, in one way or another, some small feature of Aishvarya Bhava, this consciousness that Krishna is the Lord, sometimes some feature of that is allowed to enter. And it gives the example of when a person is boiling milk. Of course, you don't want the milk to boil over. You don't want the milk to burn. Particularly, you don't want the milk to burn. You've got to really watch it. So what they do, traditionally, they put straw in the milk. Now, straw is, you know, we don't even eat grass when it's, you know, green and full of vitality. Straw means grass, but it's lost all its vitality. It's just dead. It's practically useless for very much. So, straw is put in milk to stop it burning. And as the milk is boiling, the straw somehow stops it burning. And the straw, sometimes you don't see it, and sometimes it comes to the surface, and then it goes down and you don't see it. Then it comes to the surface. It's going around and up and down, out of vision and then up again. So like this, some little element of Aishvarya is there to stop the pastimes and the devotees sometimes losing control too much. And he makes the point that without this, that it keeps a, like, healthy feature. to the loving pastimes of Vrindavan. So Nanda Maharaj, he's in this type of mood now. He's in this type of mood that he's so happy, he has Krishna as a son, it's just wonderful. Some idea that he's God, so he's just, Nanda Maharaj feels he's extremely fortunate, but not too much. So it really interferes with his intimate, loving mood towards Krishna. Hare Krishna. Any comment or question? Yes. Yeah. So the question is, Nanda Maharaj, Mother Yashoda, and the Brijbasis, they already have such a relationship with Krishna. How can we realize such our relationship? Well, the thing is, the relationship is already there, as you mentioned. It's not something to be gained from an external source. It's permanent. Means it's already there. So, but that's what the whole process of devotional service is about. The whole process of devotional service is there, and it is structured very specifically by people who are so expert, and they know how any person can progress, even from a very low level, up to the highest level. How you can systematically move and progress from being totally in Maya to being fully in your relationship with Krishna. So Srila Prabhupada is such a person. And the previous acharyas also, of course, but we're particularly fortunate that we have access to Srila Prabhupada and his mercy, because he's one of those people. There's one of the great differences between him and any of his contemporaries, that as such a truly rare Krishna conscious, realized Krishna conscious person, he was able to give us the process of devotional service in such a way, not just in a general way like, oh yes, chant Hare Krishna, do this, do that, but in a very specific, structured way, so that we can actually come to that point of realizing our eternal relationship with Krishna. Not just a half-baked version of the process, not a quarter-baked or one-tenth baked version, but really the whole thing, so that the whole process is complete. So all we have to do is follow it sincerely, and gradually all these things will be revealed. Yeah. So just carry on. Is that okay? And don't worry. How long have you been a devotee now? 3 years. So don't worry. I've been a devotee 3 years. I haven't seen Krishna dancing in front of me. What's wrong? What's going on? Don't worry. It's okay. Patience is a virtue. Rupa Goswami says, Utsahan nischayad dharyat. Should be enthusiastic. We want to achieve the goal. We want to progress. So we should be enthusiastic. But at the same time, we have to be patient. That I'm in this material world and I'm conditioned by it. So, you know. So therefore I shouldn't become too easily disturbed if there's some challenges and things like that. But then third point is confident that Krishna's there. And if I really take shelter of Krishna, then despite me and everything that's wrong with me, but by his mercy, if I really take shelter, things will work out. So let me stick at it. Even if there are some serious challenges. Is that okay? There's just, well, I'll just close by mentioning one other little interesting point. It's made in Chaitanya Charitamrita that Krishna, he hides himself, or in one way or another he's hidden to different types of people, you know, in different ways under different circumstances. You know, it's a quite a complex situation. But the devotees, sometimes, even if Krishna reveals himself completely, here I am, I'm God, see? And it's just so plainly obvious. But even sometimes when Krishna does that, someone who is like a staunch enough atheist, anti-God person will not be able to accept. But at other times, when Krishna may disguise himself in most amazing ways, but very advanced devotees will understand, this is Krishna. This is Krishna. And the examples which are given of both categories, one is of Duryodhana, when Krishna showed his universal form in Hastinapur just before the battle of Kurukshetra. It's in Mahabharata. Duryodhana sent his soldiers to arrest Krishna. Krishna showed the universal form. The soldiers ran and told Duryodhana that, you know, we can't arrest him, he's Vishnu. And Duryodhana looked at him and said, no, he's not Vishnu. In his previous life, he performed austerities. Now he's got some mystical power. That's all. But the soldiers didn't accept that. They just ran. So even though Krishna was showing his universal form, a demon couldn't accept it. But then, when Sanatana Goswami was discussing with Lord Chaitanya, it's towards the end of the Madhyalila, about the different avatars, types of avatars. So of course Sanatana Goswami understands that Lord Chaitanya is Krishna, but he knows Lord Chaitanya does not like to talk about it, or he tries to hide it. So, but he wanted, Sanatana Goswami, who's highly intelligent, wanted to direct the discussion about the avatars to bring Lord Chaitanya to the point of being forced to admit, okay, I'm the Yuga avatar. Because that's, you know, in one sense what he is. So Sanatana Goswami, he directed the discussion about the different types of avatars very strategically. And he said, yes, tell me about the Satyayuga avatar. Lord Chaitanya talked all about that. And I heard there's a Treta Yuga avatar also. And Lord Chaitanya talked all about that. And isn't there a Dwapara Yuga avatar also? And Lord Chaitanya talked all about him. And Sanatana said, but I heard that in Kali Yuga, the Yuga avatar is covered, hidden. Lord Chaitanya said, yes. And Sanatana Goswami says, but there is a Yuga avatar, isn't there? And Lord Chaitanya said, yes, of course. And Sanatana said, I have heard he comes in a golden form. And Lord Chaitanya said, yes, that's right. I have heard he comes with his associates. Yes, that's right. I have heard he establishes the Sankirtan movement. And Lord Chaitanya said, Sanatana, stop your clever questions. And Lord Chaitanya changed the subject. He said, just let me tell you about the Shakya Vaishnavatas. This is a strategy in the science of argument, like debate. If you're being defeated, change the subject. So Lord Chaitanya did that. And he wasn't forced to admit that, okay, I'm the Yuga Avatari. Srila Prabhupada ki.
Jai. Jai.